It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to a recent Pew Research poll on the religious landscape in the United States, more than a third of millennials are not identifying with any faith population. And more than 72% of non-affiliated individuals are below 50. So again, these are people that are not identifying with any particular organized religion. This news coincides with the closure or mergers of many churches in the region. But how does this impact the future of religion throughout Western Pennsylvania and the United States? I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Sarah McMillan, a sociology professor at Duquesne University. Dr. McMillan, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
And we'd like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Do you still go to church? If you have stopped going to church or have never gone, why is that? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. Another possible category you may fall into are people who go to church on special occasions like Christmas, but not at any other time of the year. Our email again is esspgh at wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh, and again the number 412-246-2002. Let's have a conversation. Sarah McMillan, let's begin by having you explain the trend that we're seeing with less people going to church. What are these researchers seeing out there and hearing from people?
Sure. This is a really old story in the sociology of religion. Back into, I would say, the dawn of the industrial age, a lot of social theorists were, quote, worried about the decline in the influence of morality and religion, and especially Christianity. Going back to the German thinker Tierney's, and then into America in the 1960s, this really accelerated with some of the social movements that were going on, the sexual revolution, political changes. There was a theorist who's a sociologist of religion, co-chaired in Germany and the New School for Social Research, Peter Berger, who really coined the idea of secularization theory. And in his book in the 1960s called The Sacred Canopy, he defined something called a plausibility structure. And what that was this idea that the world is held together by people finding meaning in certain ways. And religion was a very strong source of that, a source of order, a source of right and wrong, a source of morality. And his prediction was that because of increasing communication technologies, rapid transportation, demographic shifts, people who have different beliefs will sort of bump into each other, and that will weaken the strong, centered religious beliefs that once prior existed. And so that
so,
was...
So as technology has advanced, we have, you know, people who aren't going to church like they used to because that meant being part of a community. Now you can do that online, right?
Exactly. And what... Just to go back to the trajectory of the argument, what some people argued following the Iranian Revolution was that it wasn't so much that all religion was in decline, but a certain sort of mainline Protestant, mainline Christian type of religion was in decline in Western civilization, and that there were sort of new emergent forms of fundamentalisms and other types of strong religion, but zooming
following the Iranian Revolution.
Following the Iranian Revolution,
we're talking about 79.
There was a shift in scholarship to look at more fundamentalist forms of religion gaining strength. But what this new data is showing from Pew and other places is that it's not so much strong religion or more conservative forms that are gaining popularity, but this new sort of identity of the, quote, nuns or the unaffiliated, N-O-N-E-S.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of a play on words.
Well, I want to get into more about why this is happening, and particularly in Western culture and in the United States. There's a line in the movie Concussion, which is due out in a couple of days, but you see it in the trailer, and it's about how Sunday used to belong to the church. Now it belongs to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
How has pop culture become our priority, our spirituality, if you will, perhaps supplanting traditional religion and church going?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I just want to note one thing. I think there's a difference between religion and spirituality. I think that if you look at the data, belief in God hasn't changed very much. It's gone from 92% in 2007 to about 89%. But there is a sort of new sense of pop culture overlapping with spirituality. I think of Star Wars, for example, has just come out now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way that everybody in our society, even globally, can understand the Force in a way that's not alienating, but a way that could be, you know, sort of spiritual, but it is also embedded in pop culture and consumerism and mass media and advertising and commercialism.
I guess you can be satisfied by engaging in pop culture, which is akin to religion for some. It kind of goes back to what John Lennon said, where he was not disparaging religion, but he was saying we're bigger than the Beatles. And what he was saying was a statement of fact that more kids mm-hmm. were interested in what they were doing than they might be interested in the church down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to some callers at 412-246-2002. We have Valerie in South Park joining us. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
With Sarah McMillan. Good. How are you?
I'm doing.
Valerie, what happened? We lost you. If we can get you back on the air or have you call back, we lost Valerie. All right, Valerie, call us back at 412-246-2002. We at least want to know how you're doing. Kathy in Pittsburgh. Hi, you're on Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. You're on with... Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm 51 years old. I think that this new pope will be instrumental, hopefully, in bringing the millennials back to church. I think he's an inclusive pope, whereas traditionally the Catholics have been excluders. You know, the millennials are all about, you know, accepting people for who they are, and they have a different outlook on things. And I think that is instrumental in keeping people interested in church. You know what I mean?
Well, you've brought up something interesting here, Kathy, and I thank you for joining us. Millennials are more inclined, you know, we've been told by researchers and others, millennials are more inclined to live together, have children outside of marriage, more accepting of homosexuality, which Kathy alluded to, among other things that might conflict with religious norms. So how much, Sarah, does this play into people having an aversion to organized religion?
I think I just want to resonate. I think Pope Francis is the perfect hipster pope. Not to make a joke, but I think that the generation of in this year of mercy, the Jubilee year of mercy, it is definitely co-aligned with millennial values of a kind of radical hospitality, which should be in Christianity's best moments.
But there seems to be a disconnect here.
Mm-hmm.
Catholicism is apparently taking the biggest hit among young people or millennials, and yet we saw huge crowds show up for the Pope, a lot of young people gravitating, wanting to see the Pope when he was here last summer. So could there be that people are finding their own way to tap into spirituality, if you will, that does not involve going to the church on Sunday, but might involve kind of like the rock star event of the Pope showing up in the U.S.?
Yeah. This sociologist of religion, Robert Wuthnow at Princeton, really highlighted, even I think this is true of Catholics, but he was mainly speaking about a kind of Protestant sense of seekers, that Americans are seekers. And this goes back even to, you know, the spirit of the Puritans, that aspect of looking for God in places unknown in the present and what's in front of us is a part of the American spirit of religion. And even some Catholics, I think, can kind of align themselves with that spirit, with Pope Francis kind of breaking the social boundaries, so to speak, of what's traditionally been seen as Catholic values.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Lots of people that want to get in on this conversation, and we'll go back to Valerie in South Park. Valerie, welcome back. Sorry you got cut off. I'm glad you're back with us.
Thank you. No problem at all. So I love the program. I tune in just about every day on my lunch to listen, and this compelled me to ring in because this actually happened to me. I was raised Roman Catholic, practiced every week we went to church, and was very comfortable in that faith until I got into my teenage years, right around high school graduation, and early 20s. And I pretty much left. And then I returned in my early 40s, and I just turned 50, and I go every week, and I feel better having gone. So I don't think that it's a major issue. I think that it's kind of cyclical, and it happens to everyone.
What happened when you were in your late teens and 20s that made you stop going?
Well, I was a biochemistry major. So, you know, the whole creation versus evolution didn't sit well with me. You know, we live in Pittsburgh. We have the Carnegie. You can go there on any day of the week and see the enormous dinosaurs. And I kind of ended every argument with my mother that way. You know, on what day did God create the dinosaurs, Mom? Because I could go right down to Oakland and see them. So, you know, it was very, very hard for me to accept. And I guess I still am the worst kind of Catholic in that I choose to believe God created all life, and more so than, you know, and then it evolved more so than the Adam and Eve.
What brought you back to religion at 50?
What brought me back was the values of Christianity, that you love your neighbor, you do unto others, that we can make this beautiful gift of this world that we were given a better place. And I'm so very grateful for my family and the life I was given that I can take 1 hour out of my work week to go and praise God and just be very thankful. And so I think it happens to all young people for various reasons, but I think they'll be back.
Valerie, I want to let Sarah jump in and react to what you're saying here, because this is, and I appreciate your sharing your story with us. And what I'm wondering is, Sarah, is how common is Valerie's story, someone who strayed from the church and then came back to it?
I think it's common. I don't think it's just a Catholic phenomenon. I think the adult learning process and the religious imagination goes through phases in any tradition. It doesn't have to be specifically Catholic, but we learn certain things that we're sort of told what to do from a developmental point of view, and then as an adult we come to what the theologian who's actually Protestant, Paul Ricoeur, called limit experiences. These experiences in life where maybe it's the question of the conflict between science and religion. Although I will say there was a famous Catholic priest who was an evolutionary archaeologist, Teilhard de Chardin. You would check him out. You'd love him, Valerie. But I think also that element of growing out of life crises and developing an adult faith, people can renew their experience of their faith, looking at the mystical tradition, looking at what Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan, calls the second part of life, that moment where we're more interested in spiritual questions. And
so this could be a cyclical thing.
I think it's a cyclical thing in the individual's lives. And I also think societal patterns do shift. But there is a trajectory to be mindful of, that churches have to be mindful of how different generations have a sense of the spiritual. And that's a cohort effect as opposed to a developmental effect, which is important to understand the way in which history and social changes affect people's experiences of the faith collectively.
Let's go to Josh from La Trobe. Hi, Josh. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
So I'm 21, so I'm a millennial. I left the Catholic Church about 5 years ago and started going to a Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. And for those that aren't familiar with UU, it's a non-creedal sort of religion. So I wanted to comment on...
It's a very intellectual approach to religion.
That's correct. Yeah. So what I'm finding is amongst my peers is not only are millennials leaving religion, but they're also leaving more traditional, more dogmatic versions of religion for religious experiences that are more human-centered, more rational, more liberal, if you'd like to use that term. For example, you know, amongst my peers, you know, people that are frustrated with the churches, traditional churches' treatment of LGBT people or treatment of human sexuality, they're frustrated with that, and they're leaving for sort of spiritual experiences that embrace those more human-centered and liberal ideas of faith.
Well, there's the UU Church, as you described, Universalist Unitarians, who, you know, don't necessarily delve into the Bible the same way that other forms of Christianity do. Josh, you raise an interesting point, and stay on the line because, you know, I'm wondering, Sarah, could people like Josh eventually take Christianity into sort of develop their own liberal interpretation of the Bible and go off and maybe develop something that's different from what we see now? Or is it going to stay, are the choices going to stay the same as they are today?
I think I'm a huge fan of Emerson and Thoreau, who were sort of the founding voices of the Unitarian Universalist movement in New England. And that's exactly what they did. You know, they took scriptures. Thoreau read from the Vedic literature in India, and the religion, like culture, is a breathing entity. Now, if you're committed to a type of orthodoxy, which if you're a Catholic or certain types of Protestant or you know certain types of Jewish experiences would claim that, you have to speak to a certain set of teachings, which is dogmatic. But I think also if you would talk to a Catholic theologian, they would say that the magisterium is in continual process, that is the deposit of teachings is in continual process of renewing itself and applying itself to different contexts.
So Josh, do you see, are there people like you who might, if this is the correct way for me to phrase this, that might still be evolving on religion and that would create something different?
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's sort of been my experience that, you know, people are starting to take a more, you know, not self-centered, but a seeking approach, as your speaker used. And I also like that you use the term orthodoxy, because I think that, you know, the orthodoxy is exactly what people my age are frustrated with. They're tired of being sort of told what to believe and want to sort of find their own path. So I think that to say that millennials are sort of evolving on their handling of spirituality is accurate.
Josh, thank you. We appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. So Sarah McMillan, assuming churches are aware of how disconnected young people feel from the church, and Josh was an example of that, are churches getting the message? Are they picking up on this and thinking, maybe we need to develop a different strategy to bring people in if they're not coming to us, you know, if they've drifted from the flock at this point?
I think some churches are doing this. I would have to confess to not have been in the field of observing different Protestant churches, and I happen myself to be Catholic, so sort of stick with going to Catholic Mass. But I you know, heard anecdotally and read studies of churches adopting different modes of worship. That's a huge thing.
Well, I mean, like, you know, years ago when you first started seeing guitar mass.
Right.
I mean, this will bring the young people in. They'll
right.
dig this.
Well, it's interesting. There's two reactions to that. There are some people who like the profundity, and I happen to probably like the sort of more old-fashioned type of thing. I would say that about myself. But then there's also the element of compatibility and evocative of emotion, of the experience of what young people relate to more commonly in their everyday type of experience. And that's a question for religion. You know, what is religion? Is religion something that is set apart? And that's how the sociologists of religion would talk about it, is something that's different from the profane, something that's different from the everyday. Certain people like that experience of having that uplifting, different from the everyday experience on a Sunday or a Saturday night, or a Sunday evening. Or,
but do churches need to evolve differently from, you know, if church continues to, if churches continue to proceed in a manner similar to the way it was done hundreds of years mm-hmm. ago, if they are not in step with the way society is changing, can they become, do they risk becoming irrelevant?
I think some of them do. I think that there will always be an appeal. There's something about tradition which always has an appeal, and that's why religion exists, period, is to evoke tradition. But in terms of other churches who are seeing declines because they, you know, are not creating that mass of appeal, I think that, you know, whether it's innovative service projects, one thing.
Before you go on with that, let me just take another call here from Helen in Gibsonia, who's been waiting, who can, I think can kind of chime in on what we've been discussing here. Hi, Helen. You're on the air with Sarah McMillan of Duquesne University.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to say I'm also a Unitarian Universalist, and our church goes back to the Nicene Creed, when we decided the unity over the Trinity. So we're older than Emerson and Thoreau, who have become part of our tradition. But I really think we allow people to explore what is God. And we start with our children saying, what is God? We don't know. We don't know the answers. And enjoy being part of the great mystery.
What you're saying, Helen, would seem to fall under the definition of agnostics. Was that fair? No.
No. Many Unitarians are believers, but they define God for themselves. The church does not do that.
And well, I appreciate the call, Helen. And what about how the Universalist Unitarians, we've heard from a couple of them now who have chimed in, how do they fit into this picture? Is this the way that some people, is this the answer for some people when it comes to organized religion?
Well, I sort of
the anti-church church, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think that at the collective level, I didn't look at the data specific to Unitarian Universalists, but they would be lumped under mainline Protestant, and the mainline Protestant narrative is still one of decline. So, but I think that the spirit of what the Unitarian experience would suggest is that it's the experience that is the basis of theology, which would definitely be compatible with a millennial type of trajectory of faith. But the thing is, I think that millennials go beyond even Unitarians. I mean, whether it's, I have a colleague who's a scholar of Buddhism, and he was telling me back in the 80s, the scholars of Buddhism were really excited because Americans, there was a vast majority percentage of Americans who believed in reincarnation, even while being Christian. And what that is saying is that the American spirit, and that the millennial spirit, you know, piggybacks onto this, is this kind of bricolage or kind of blending of different traditions. And it's always been that way. It's always been that way.
We've got about 30 seconds or so left. So what does this mean for the future of Christianity? We're seeing these declining numbers. We're seeing people moving away from organized religion. And we talked about the possibility of it being cyclical. But at the end of the day, you know, churches are closing. So what does this mean for them?
Well, I want to go back to an earlier point that you made, Paul, about community. And that is essential. Community is what the churches need to really brand themselves by. I think that's their method of survival. And if they can do that, then Christianity does have a future.
We've been talking with Sarah McMillan. She's a sociology professor at Duquesne University about Pew Research indicating that people, millennials in particular, are not identifying with any faith population. Having this conversation a couple days before Christmas, Sarah McMillan, happy holidays to you.
And to you. Thank you very much.
Coming up, a conversation with the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Clairton, which is closing its doors after Christmas. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.